The promise fulfilled. I don't know how many of you know the film Interstellar. The basic plot is that the Earth is no longer able to sustain human life, and a mission to find other inhabitable planets is launched secretly because of belief by many that it would be resources directed in a futile effort. So we've got an epic moment here and in this film, and now we're going to enter into it a little bit as I describe it. Coop, played by heartthrob Matthew McConaughey, is a former astronaut engineer, now become farmer because of the desperate need to grow crops in a more and more inhospitable ecosystem. And he's also, maybe most importantly, dad of a precocious science-oriented girl called Murph, played by Jessica Chastain. She and her dad discover this secret project that NASA has undertaken, and in the process, Coop is asked to go on a space mission and captain the ship that will explore the options. What is discovered along the way is that the odds are that Coop and his crew may never make it back. Well, during the film, Murph grows up to become a research scientist, and with her dad, though separated by light years, in the end, together find a solution that saves the Earth's inhabitants and brings her and her father together again. In the scene of reunion, he asks, "How did you know that I would make it back?" And she answers, "Because my dad promised me." Well, of course, as a dad myself, I get chills and all weepy when I hear that line. But there is a great example here of the power of a promise fulfilled against all odds. And even though this is a dramatic entertainment, there's some parallels here of there's a desperate situation and people need to go forward, and keeping their promise is key to the success. Well, today we hear of two elderly and devout Jews who see a larger promise come true against all odds. The Messiah of Israel appears. This promise that God would take care of His people was first expressed in the covenant agreement that God made to Abraham some 2,000 years before this. And it was something where He would make Abraham's offspring a great nation and that He would always watch over them. And in turn, they would be a people who would bless others. Well, this promise was then given greater specificity in all that Moses wrote in roughly 1600 BCE as the Jewish religious law and further described by the Jewish prophets over time. For example, in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah makes this prophetic statement to what was then King Ahaz, who wasn't believing that God could do something outstanding on behalf of the people. And he said, "Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." This Emmanuel, God with us, is the one who will redeem or pay the price to ransom or buy back the nation of Israel from their sin and wandering. So, in the Mosaic Law mentioned earlier, we heard in the reading that every firstborn male son was to be brought back or redeemed from the Lord through a sacrifice. It paralleled what the blood of the Lamb placed on the doorpost at the first Passover accomplished, to redeem or save the firstborn son of the Hebrew people when the angel of death passed by in Egypt on Passover night. So when the first son was born, you were required to go to the temple and bring a sacrifice. If you were wealthy, you brought a lamb. If you were poor, you would bring two turtle doves or pigeons. Joseph and Mary were in this category. The account of the presentation of Jesus in the temple that we heard about in today's gospel reading combines the ceremonial purification rite that Mary was to complete following the birth of a child and the Jewish ceremony of the redemption of the firstborn son. It's just 40 days after Jesus has been born, and Joseph and Mary arrive at the temple to complete these responsibilities. Think of Korah quite a few months ago, or Maylene, who's now a year. Go back 11 months, and you'll remember and feel and touch that moment as this family is coming there. And they are unexpectedly met by two strangers. They're here at this huge temple with lots of activity, lots of people doing different things. And these two people show up in their lives. First, Simeon, who speaks prophetically to them about Jesus' destiny and how it would impact the nation, and Mary. And then they're greeted by Anna, who, because of her witness, is called a prophetess. She prophesies that this child is in fact the Messiah, the one that would save the people of Israel from their enemies in life and death and would fulfill all that Jewish law and sacred writings pointed to. In a number of the classic paintings, which Paul Zulig would have access to, I'm sure, in his mind, the presentation at the temple depicts Anna in this way. She holds in her left hand the law, and with her other hand points to Jesus. She points to him as the connecting point back to God's promise first made to Abraham, and now of all that is represented in the temple, after all the wandering and sin of the Jewish people, the Redeemer who would buy back the nation has arrived. What are the odds of this happening? That after all these centuries, the Messiah had arrived. Okay, we're in a church today. Let's pretend this was the temple. Who did you expect to show up? And what would happen here? Okay, probably do, maybe Nate Zulig would show up and we do some carols, and who knows, maybe Cynthia or another reader would read, etc. But could something big happen here this morning? Something that could rock your world, that could change your life? It could be. But this is crazy talk. The Messiah. It's something that the faithful certainly would devote themselves to wait for, but not actually see fulfilled. Then further consider the chance that Anna and Simeon, being in the temple that day, when the family showed up, serendipity, what's going on here? What are the odds of that happening, that they'd bump into these two people? But for them at that moment, it is both a concrete reality, just like Charity is holding Cora, like you can pick up the book in front of you or touch the chair. It was real, but it was also a faith confession. Here was this person that the Holy Spirit had revealed to be the one, and yet this was not the adult Redeemer King that everyone anticipated would show up. This was a 40-day-old newborn. So they had to live into even this moment with faith, as do we. And we know that for Anna, as she does, there's a ripple effect, both for Mary in confirming what she'd heard from the angel, seen in the shepherds, and would experience soon from the Magi who show up, that her baby truly was the one who was promised. Jesus was and would be the promise fulfilled. And it also had an effect in others who were devotedly looking for that time when Jerusalem and all that its holy writings promised would be fulfilled. All of these people had their faith stirred as they heard Anna's prophetic words as she spoke to them one by one, declaring that it had happened. The time had come. So, what promise are you hoping will come true today in your life? What are you afraid may never happen, but you wish dearly and deeply that it would? What are the odds against the promise that you hope will happen coming true? You know, there are times for each of us where we feel the odds are stacked against us, that it is utterly unlikely that what you most deeply hope for will come true. But those are the kind of odds that God works best in. The impossible. And this is the good news that God announces to us today through Simeon and Anna. The story of Jesus is not a fairy tale. It is the greatest truth, and it is for you and for me and for the whole world. And it is something you can lean into with all of your might. Why can you count on the promise of this story being kept? Because like Murph, we can confess, because my dad said he would. Thanks be to God.